glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday. It's August 7th, 2020. And Pastor Jason, I'm just going to jump right into James. It's a delightful book. It's a wonderful book. It's a God-inspired book. It's a manual for us to learn how to live faithfully, how to find wisdom as we seek after God. But most importantly, and you've said this a time or two, probably a dozen, maybe a few hundred times, probably the greatest aspect of God's Word is that we get to know God, that we get to see how He's revealed Himself to man, primarily or first and foremost as the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, Jesus being the God-man sent from God so that we could have a relationship with Him, that we could secure eternal life, not because of anything we have done or how we've earned it or because we're pretty good people or we're better than others or we've measured up. It's all because of His grace, His mercy, His plan. He sent Jesus, and we need to accept Him. We need to recognize we're sinful and we're in need of Him, and that He's the one and only way to have a relationship with God the Father. And James knew all about Jesus because he lived with Jesus, he followed Jesus, he was guided by Jesus, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these many words that we've been talking about and we'll talk about for weeks forward, that these are practical ways to know God, to live for God, and we're going to learn a little about persevering. So I'll begin at verse 2 of James chapter 1, just to lay a little of the context, because we'll be talking about not only persevering, but really seeking wisdom that God offers freely to all of us. And you and I were kidding before off air that Jesus is the answer and Jesus is returning. So allow that to give us a little perspective, because these are crazy, crazy times, unprecedented. You know, there's everyone worrying and concerned, and so much of our conversations and what we talk about is centered around COVID-19 or centered around uncertainty or fear or what are we going to do or how do we help or all the other issues, whether it's racism or white privilege or just a host, a myriad of things that now are surfaced and talked about constantly with the news media and such. And you and I said in our final analysis, Jesus is returning, He'll make things right, but He's coming this time to judge the world, and we want to be ready. We want to be in a relationship with Him. We want to be listening to His Spirit's leading. We want to be agents of hope and peace and comfort. We want to help provide maybe a balance that, yes, things are uncertain to some degree, but we can rest in that God is sovereign. He's in control. None of this is a surprise to Him. None of this is happening outside of His permissive will. There's things that we can learn about. And so I hope today, as we talk about some of the things that James had to say, as mentioned, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will bring us a measure of peace or comfort or just, yeah, it's not going to be easy, but we live with an eternal perspective and a God who wants to be an active agent in us, guiding us so that we will lean into Jesus, that we will surrender to Him, that we will fall on our faces and say, Lord, it's hopeless, but it's not hopeless because of You. You can bring about that redemptive work and help us be about, you know, Your will today. So reading from James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then what we'll talk about a little bit today and the coming weeks, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, Lord, give us guidance, give us insight, give us help. Help Pastor Jason as he divides some of this, as we talk about it. Give us nuggets of truth. Give us insights into your great character, how you're working through these days. You haven't abandoned us. You haven't just put us on autopilot, that you're actively engaged with leaders, with individuals, with family members, that you do convey a message of hope and an eternality that we need to look forward to. So guide us through this reading today. Guide us through points of application into our lives, and help us just glean from your word a path or a direction or principles that we need to take or be mindful of, being the great God that you are. And we thank you for how you're already answering it as we seek after you and pray to you, the one true, awesome God that deserves our worship and our obedience. And we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for sending Jesus and giving us that hope, that eternal hope through him. In his name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, I just kind of went into prayer. I don't know. I just felt like I better just pray now. So I don't usually do that. We do it beforehand, but not usually during the program.
No, I thought it was good because that's what I was thinking as you were sharing some of that, kind of the burdens of the world and the heaviness that's going on. And then reading that passage of scripture, I thought, we need to pray. And then you started to pray. So I said, all right, thank you, Lord. You know, this is an interesting passage because it kind of flies in the face of what we tend to do. And so before we start there, though, I want to begin with the fact that the world is a mess. Things right now are messy. And one of the reasons why I think the world is a mess is because if we read the Bible, and I'm a big fan of reading the Bible, if we read the Bible, we find that nations, and nations are simply large groups of people gathered together, but that nations struggled to keep the right perspective. Nations struggled to do what they know they ought to do. And it always became the reason a nation would fall or a reason a nation would struggle. The big kind of mega narrative of the Bible is Israel, and Israel's struggle to keep their eyes on the king. I mean, they were saved out of slavery by God, who led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day. They saw the manifest presence of God fall upon the tabernacle. They heard the thunder and the lightning and the ground shake as they received the Ten Commandments. I mean, they knew God in a way that we today just read about. Now, granted, we have his Holy Spirit, so when we read, we feel something that maybe they didn't feel. The Bible even says that we know something that the prophets long to know. But the point is that they had an actual experience, a physical experience with the living God. And they were amongst people like Moses, who stood at the burning bush with his sandals off, who had an experience with the living God. And yet, even in all of that experience, we still end at the last verses of Judges, which said, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And when it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, it's not talking about a king, an earthly king. It's talking about a divine king, one who is revered above all else, one who is called perfect. Yet there was no king in Israel. There was no king in the nation. And because there was no king in the nation, because everybody wasn't looking to that one perfect standard, that one perfect wisdom, they weren't seeking after the wisdom of that one perfect king, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's not just something that happened back in the book of Judges. We read in John chapter 1 that Jesus came into the world, and he came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. Why? Because they had lost sight of that one perfect standard. They had lost sight of looking to the king. Instead, they were doing what was right in their own eyes. In fact, as we see how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders dealt with Jesus, we saw that they were not observing God's law oftentimes. They were instead observing their own opinions, observing their own ideas, and then kind of draping God's law over that and saying, we're serving God. And the danger in that is something that we learn from Scripture as we kind of survey all of Scripture. You know, if I look in Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Isaiah 37, against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 40, he makes the wisdom of man meaningless. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If he thinks he's wise in this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but enjoy the company of lowly. Do not be conceited. Do not be wise in your own eyes. The scripture is replete with this idea of us beginning to believe somehow that we have the wisdom that will save the world. And if we have the wisdom that will save the world, then Jesus didn't need to come into the world, did he? He didn't need to come into the world to bring us back to God and to bring our gaze back upon God. And one of the problems that I think that we have is we've become wise in our own eyes. Hmm. Our own ideas are better than those of God. You know, it's kind of funny. I've really just been saying lately, you know, everybody's talking about everything else. I want to talk about Jesus. And I've had a number of people tell me, well, you think that's enough? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I had some folks who were Christians who told me that. Hmm. Do you think prayer and just talking about Jesus is enough? I mean, you should be using your platform for change. You should be using your platform to do this, this, and this. And I said, no. My platform and where I stand is simply to point to the King, because his standard is perfect. How he leads is perfect. We are here in this place because we have become wise in our own eyes and believe that our ideas and ideals are better than his. Hmm. And that's what James says, doesn't he? He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, right then and there, all of God's people should say, yep. But the problem is that we wouldn't. We would begin to push back on that and say, no. Well, I got a few good ideas. I've got a few things that I know. I've got a few plans and all of that. You know, but as Kevin Smith, who was a professor of mine in biblical preaching, used to say, every great idea that man has is fallen by nature.
Hmm.
And so even the best laid plans are fallen by nature. The prophet Isaiah said, hey, my best stuff, it's filthy rags. And that wasn't Isaiah trying to diminish or demean himself. That was just him offering perspective to say, listen, my best stuff up and against God's is not all that good. God has the best stuff. God has the best way to lead and to guide us. And so James begins and says, does anybody lack wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, which all of God's people, all of us should say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what's so desperately needed is wisdom right now. I think it's important to make this distinction between wisdom and knowledge.
Mm.
See, knowledge is raw information. All of us know some things. All of us have seen some things. We know some things. But wisdom is the ability to use that information. And wisdom comes from experience. Wisdom comes from time spent doing. Now listen, if we want the greatest chance at taking those raw ideas and using them well, that raw information and using it well, then we want to find the person who has the most experience.
Hmm.
Eternity? I'm pretty sure an eternal being has the most capacity and the best track record for taking information and ideas and using them for good.
Along with the fact that he created all things were created through him, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And so that's why the Bible continually says that we seek wisdom from God, that we bring the ideas that we have, we bring the thoughts that we have. You know, we allow God to take every thought captive. Why do we allow him to take every thought captive? Because he's going to then take that thought and apply his wisdom and lead us in that. But apart from that, we're simply leading ourselves with our own ideas and a real lack of wisdom. You know, and so if knowledge is the raw ideas and wisdom is the ability to use it, then let me ask you, where is the wisdom right now? Because this is the first time we've ever done most of what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of us, in fact, all of us, except for a very few small percentage of people who were around in 1918, know how to navigate a pandemic, know how to navigate what's happening with the economy, know how to handle what's happening politically. I mean, a lot of this is so much the first time for all of us that there is no wisdom in how to handle this situation. And so we're running roughshod, which is getting us into the weeds left and right nonstop. And so this verse right here is so applicable for us today, because if any of you lacks wisdom, which is the ability to use the ideas and thoughts that you have, well, yeah, all of us do, because this is our first time.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it say to do? Let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is actually a really interesting way that Hebrew works. Hebrew generally offers an idea sandwiched between two other ideas, the same kind of thing. It's repetition. So God wants to give us generously his wisdom, and it will be given by him. And so twice in this passage here, in this verse, we hear that God is going to give it to us. And sandwiched in between it is without reproach, meaning that he's not going to hold anything back. So he's going to give it to us and not hold anything back. And not only is he going to give it to us, but he's going to give it to us generously, which is what we need, which means he's not going to say, well, you know, I mean, I'll give you that, but you got to give me this, or I'll give you that, but only a little bit of it, because I want you to be hungry for more. God doesn't do that. He wants to give it generously. Why? Because he's working all things out for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Now, does that mean that things are going to magically get better? No, because also when I read the Bible, I learned that we have to go through things, not around them. And we go through those things with God, not apart from him. You know, the Lord's Prayer says that he will meet us in the midst of our trials, and he will provide us with daily bread, that he will provide us with what we need in these seasons of life to bring us through these difficult times. But in these difficult times, the other part of that is that we're continually going to him and asking him, laying before him the thoughts and ideas and questions and frustrations and tensions that we have and that we live in, asking him to give us wisdom in how to navigate those things. Mm-hmm. All right, what do we need in this time right now, when you survey kind of what's happening out in the world, Mark, what do we need more than anything?
The love of God and the relationship with him to bring us peace and hope.
Yeah. So we need love. We need unity. We need peace. We need all of the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We need all the things that God gives freely through his Son, Jesus Christ, manifest in his Spirit within believers. And so we need exactly what God has. But because we're wise in our own eyes, we go, you know what? Love is good, but you know what actually is better? Hate. Because hate gathers a crowd. Well, of course, you can always gather a bunch of people around something that you hate. But you know what? It's more beautiful when you gather people around something that you love. And love actually covers over a multitude of sins. So when we're talking about whatever sin we're talking about, and you open the program by talking about systemic racism or, you know, bias or all the different things, that all the different sins of the world that we're struggling with right now, there's only one thing the Bible says covers over a multitude of sins, and that is love. And when it says it covers it over, it doesn't mean that it hides it. It means that what it does is that it fills all those broken cracks and crevices and all those places where it disconnects us from one another and allows us to begin to live in harmony once again, where we see one another, we hear one another, and we love one another. Hmm. And all of this comes from his wisdom, which he gives without reproach. He wants to get it. In fact, listen, God knows that we need it. In fact, I think that we go through these difficult seasons so that we will pursue him and pursue his wisdom, pursue his way, because that's really what his wisdom is. It's his way. Mm-hmm. It's our ideas, you know, laid up and against his way of doing things, which conforms our ideas to what? The image of Christ, to Christ. And so all of a sudden now we're doing things his way. And his way is always better. His way always brings all things together and makes all things new. And yet we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so as Christians, do any of you lack wisdom? The answer should be yes. In fact, if the answer is no, then right away the red flag goes up. And then it says, let him ask God. You're going to have to humble. We're going to have to humble ourselves and get on our knees more often than not and ask God, beg him and plead for him to give us the wisdom that we need to navigate difficult days. And where we're not doing that, realize that we're falling short of the inheritance that has been given to us. And we do so not wondering if God's going to answer, not hoping he's going to answer, but with a kind of confidence because he gives generously and without reproach that it will be given. But how do we have to ask? In faith, which means we ask knowing that God has the best answers. We don't ask and then we lay God's answer down on the table and go, well, you know, I mean, okay, so God's answer is pretty good, but you know, I've done a little cost-benefit analysis here, and God's got a few problems with his answer, and my answer is actually pretty good. I got actually less problems with my answer, because then what you realize is you're wise in your own eyes, and your pride is reared up once again.
Yeah.
in faith means that we say God has the best answer. He has the best ideas. He has the best pathway because it is fueled. It is guided by his wisdom. And we do so, the Bible says here, without doubting. So we don't doubt. We don't doubt God. We don't doubt his ability. Because if we doubt his ability, then all of a sudden we're going to find ourselves in the last verse of Judges. There is no king in the nation, and everybody does as they please. Their ideas are more important. They're wise in their own eyes, and everything gets worse. And I don't know about you, friends, but I'm rife and ready for a resurgence of what is good, right, and lovely. And so we need to lean in, to seek God, to admit that we don't have too many answers in this season of life, but that he does. And we need to get together with our neighbors and our friends, not just in church, but where we live. And we need to lift our voices up to God. I wonder what it would look like if all of you listening right now would go grab a couple of your neighbors and you would say, you know what, we need to seek the wisdom of God because we've not had good ideas. And we need to seek his wisdom. And guess what? He gives generously. And we're going to do so in faith the whole time praying, saying, God, you have the best ideas. You have the best ideas. And we're not going to doubt them when you give them to us. Instead, we're going to stand on them as the sure footing, the sure ground of Jesus Christ.
If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him or to her. I wrote down two quick summary things, Jason. You mentioned about wisdom, in a sense, could be taking the knowledge that God has given you or revealed you to forward on some concepts, some plans, some thoughts, hopefully some godly directions. But I also wonder, and we only have a minute left here, but there's that proverb or that verse that talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think maybe next week we can even touch on that as we move forward. But the ultimate wisdom is having that relationship, that understanding, that reverence for Almighty God. That's the very core, the beginning of true wisdom, godly wisdom, is seeking out and knowing the great God that we serve.
Yeah, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment, what the greatest thing is to do, he pointed them back to the first commandment that was given at Mount Sinai, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then out of that, you will naturally begin to love other people as you've been loved by God.
Amen and amen. Oh, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for this book of James. Thank you for Pastor Jason Schiffo. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.